Welcome to the Hockey Hound Show. Join us as we break down the latest stories from around the National Hockey League, interviews, and more. Here are your hosts for the show, Michael Prieto and Matt Rezudis.
Welcome back to the Hockey Hound Show. I'm Mike, and I've got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to give you some NHL news, and we're going to start off with Quenneville is stepping down from Florida. Yeah, this is a few days old, but we're gonna take off from where we left off on our from our last podcast. This was actually happening while we were doing our last podcast. As soon as we finished, the news came out about Quenneville, which was really surprising. And it's funny how those things tend to happen. And Kevin Cheveldayoff was it Winnipeg?
Yep,
he is. GM. He is not, there will be no administrative action against him, which is, I would probably say, pretty understandable. I think it's kind of hard to believe that he didn't really know anything, but I don't think he really had a say in anything at the time. So, you know, we'll see how this goes and where it ends. On with the, you know, with the investigation regarding the Blackhawks and the bombshell that happened last week. You know, what a week for hockey news last week. It was absolutely incredible. Kyle Beach had a meeting with Gary Bettman, and Bettman said that Beach would have the support of the NHL. He specifically asked Beach if he had any suggestions on how this can happen specifically with his situation. And he offered psychological services with the, you know, to help him through, you know, this tough time as Beach said, he's going to start to try and move forward, you know, right now. And I hope that the guy, you know, can get some peace in his life, you know. So maybe the NHL will have a position for him, going forward, maybe a few years down the road. You know, as we mentioned last time, it would seem like kind of a token position if it were to be done right now. And now probably wouldn't be a good time because, you know, Beach needs to, you know, get himself together and somewhat find some closure, I would think, with this kind of a situation. And we'll see how things progress, you know, on that front, because I'm sure there's going to be more news on it. But some big news coming out this weekend is that Eichel rumors are heating up with the Ducks and the Knights, being the two, probably the biggest names related to him. I'd probably say the Knights are the favorites as of right now, but don't count out the Ducks. And I could really see him fitting in on the Knights, man. This is, you know, right in line with what they would do, because that would really mean that they're really going after it. And I would assume that they would, because, you know, they've been contenders ever since their inception, their first year in the league. You know, they put the whole league on notice. And you know what? They haven't turned back since. I think that they've had some disappointing playoff runs, but going after, you know, Jack Eichel and adding him into the mix, dependent on, you know, what goes on with his surgery, when he can rehab and get back and essentially get into some games and get up to speed, you know, we might be looking at, you know, quite a little bit. How long do you think, you know, if this were to transpire, to get Eichel back into, you know, back into game shape?
Oh man, I'm not sure about that. There's too many unknowns for me. If I was the GM, I don't think I'd pull the trigger till maybe the end of the season, you know, just get him prepped up for next year. But I do think he will end up on the Knights at some point. Jason from the Vegas Fever podcast said, that's a very Knights thing to do. That's how, you know, they go for the big fish, and right. I think they made a couple trades, like with Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty, and I think if they're hungry for it, they're gonna do it. So, and I think that he'd end up being very, very good on this team.
Do you think that Eichel is just willing to go absolutely anywhere just to get out?
I think he would go anywhere, but the problem is that cap hit in the years, and some of the teams are, you know, all the way up against the cap, and really they don't really have much to offer. I'm actually surprised hearing Vegas. I know he would fit well, but they're kind of cap tied, aren't they? I think they might have some room, but they're going to have to get rid of a contract to obviously bring him in. I think the Ducks have a lot of cap space. Obviously, Phoenix has a lot of cap space. I don't see them. I don't see the Coyotes making a trade for him. I think it would kind of... They're doing it the old school way. Rebuild, being terrible, and stocking up on draft picks. And there's some other teams probably that I could see him ending up on. Like, I actually thought Detroit would be in on him in the summer. I heard Stevie Y was kind of, you know, throwing the Red Wings in the table. But, yeah, I guess Jack, I think he would probably love to play for Vegas. If I'm him, I'm going to a team that's going to contend every season. The Ducks, I'd be a little, you know, it's going to probably be a little bit like Buffalo, but obviously the weather's nicer, so that might be a positive. But, yeah, I think it's going to be the Knights at some point.
I'll tell you what, man, being in Orange County is not a bad deal.
Yes.
You know, that would not be
hockey.
That would not be a bad place to play hockey and be a millionaire in, man. It's absolutely beautiful there.
Some good pieces there too on that team. Yeah, there are. But I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, Buffalo is playing pretty well right now, and it's almost like he should have just been a little patient. Like, watching his team, they're not that bad. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs, but you know what? Maybe he'll say, hey, this team's actually more ahead than I thought. Maybe I'll just suck it up and play here. You never know with this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, maybe he wants to have his cake and eat it too. And maybe that's why he'd be all in for Vegas, because, you know, we can consider them a contender 100%. I think that that's a team where he can go in and he would feel that his contributions, probably for the first time in his career, actually mean something, and not just to his personal stat line.
I actually have some new news actually with this. I guess the Flames have entered this as well.
Hmm.
The Jack Eichel sweepstakes, which is interesting too, because they're playing very, very, very well.
They
are. Jacob Markstrom's just tearing it up right now. 3 shutouts and 4 starts. Johnny Hockey's shown up. He's leading the team in points. I believe it's 11. And he got two guys with 7. I want to say it's Elias Lindholm and what's his name? The cool guy, Andrew Mangiapane. 7 goals apiece for these guys in a Brett Sutter system, which is crazy.
Daryl Sutter.
Sorry, there's so many of them.
I know. You could say Brandon, Brent. You
know. Yeah. Daryl. 2-time Stanley Cup. Sorry, yeah. Mr. Sutter.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll just say Mr.
You know, yeah, Mr. Sutter. just call all of them.
Hey, Sutter. Yeah.
So Florida and Edmonton, they finally lose. Who did Edmonton lose to?
Shoot, I forget. I did too. I know they were the last team standing, I know, is the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right. I think Florida lost to the Bruins.
Yeah,
and that was in overtime.
They almost lost when Andrew Brunette was taken over against Detroit. Detroit was all over that team.
Right.
They took them to overtime and Florida ended up getting a W, but it was a good response for, you know, all this drama off the ice. They showed up and, you know, they got the 2 points, which was, it's all that matters, but it's got to be difficult, you know, used to seeing Q, you know, behind the bench, and he steps down. And Brunette, I think he'll be all right. I think he's coached with the Minnesota Wild as an assistant. So he kind of knows what he's doing, but I don't think he's going to be the head coach there in the future.
I'll be more specific. They went to overtime, but they lost in a shootout. That's what happened.
Oh, it was a shootout.
It was a shootout loss, right. You know, look at Florida, man. And, you know, I can really feel for them. You know, they had this really red-hot start. Red hot start, and then out of nowhere, Quenville's gone. Their head coach is gone, you know. And I know the guys are talking about it. They're probably talking about it for days. And you could say all you want, oh yeah, you know, it's just noise type of a thing. But no, this is really, really huge. And we'll have to see how this team responds.
Getting a guy like Quenville, a 3-time Stanley Cup champ, as a head coach, and Just everyone.
Didn't he win with? I'm sorry.
Yeah, win I'm one saying with, as a head coach. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's got four. I think he was an assistant that year when Colorado had their all-star team. But yeah, if you're a player on Florida and you get a guy like that to lead the team, it's got to be huge. Like, oh man, we just brought in Coach Q, and this guy's a winner, and he's going to help us get over. And it looks like this year they were going to do it. And hey, they still could do it. So I'm hearing coaching rumors. Obviously, we're hearing it on the Hound. Tortorello to the Panthers. I don't think that would be a good fit, honestly. And I love Torts. Torts is one of my favorites. I think he might bring that team back a little bit. This team right now doesn't need to change a thing. And I think Tortorella might, you know, turn it down a little bit as far as goals for. I think he want to protect his end better. But I think a guy like Bruce Boudreau would fit in. I don't know about you, but every team he's coached, they score goals. And they can never get over. I know with the Ducks, he never got there. With the Wild, he never got there. And obviously the Caps, he never got there. But this team is built pretty solid in Florida. And I think he would be a good fit.
You know, it's kind of funny you mentioned Bruce Boudreau. And, you know, we've got Tortorella on the other side. Do you think that Bruce Boudreau would maybe tilt the ice a little bit too much in one direction, kind of how in the offensive Torts direction,
the
kind
way.
Of
how
Torts would tilt it in the defensive direction?
I think he's pretty similar to Coach Q. I don't know if anyone remembers this 2015 series with the Ducks and the Blackhawks. That was pretty evenly matched, man. That was one of the best playoff series I've ever watched. And the teams were almost identical the way they played. I thought the Ducks should have won that series just because Bruce had them playing more physical, and they were really wearing down the Hawks' defense. And just the Hawks just overcame all of it and won. But I think that Florida team is pretty dang good to, like, compared with the Hawks and the Ducks that year. I think Bruce could actually would improve that team.
Interesting. I wonder what they do. You know, who knows? They could stick with Brunette, you know, Andrew Brunette.
Yeah, they could. I mean, look what the Blues did a couple of years ago. They brought in, I'm sorry, I'm blanking, but they were terrible, and this guy wins the cup. I got to get this. Hold on. It's driving me nuts. I'm not giving enough respect. Berube, Craig Berube.
Okay.
Former fourth line player. You know, they hire him as an intern, and he gets the Stanley Cup win. So you never know. Maybe Brunette can do the same thing.
Morgan Rielly signs an extension, 8 year, $60 million. I believe it's 7.5 a year. Oof. He's a good player, man. But you know what? I wonder where Toronto's getting all this cash.
Yeah, how are they going to do it? They're going to just put five guys on the ice every night?
So here's the thing, dude. Do you think that a player gets moved at the deadline?
If they're not in contention, yes, but I just don't. They're playing with fire, man. Signing these guys, like, these crazy contracts, and these guys haven't done anything in the playoffs yet.
Morgan Riley's been pretty steady on there.
I like him. He's one of the longest tenured leaves, too. I think he's like he's the easy anchor of the defense for sure.
Yeah.
He's a solid puck mover. I just got like a. Every time I think of him, I just think of Connor McDavid just schooling him on that awesome goal. I think it was 2 years ago. He just, it was terrible. He made like, what's his name? Morgan Rielly look like a sixth defenseman on an AHL team, the way he just schooled right by him. And I felt bad for him, but it's McDavid. So.
Oh, yeah. McDavid happens to do that to a lot of people, though.
That's true. But
postering these guys.
It was bad. Yeah, it was bad.
So, yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens with the Leafs, because I believe they beat the Red Wings this past weekend, too. And, you know, we're looking at a team that, you know, they have to win. You know, I think that they are expected to, considering, you know, the players that they have, to make it really deep. And you know what? They're just having maybe some trials and tribulations at the beginning of the season. Maybe they turn it on, you know, as the season goes on. But what if unexpectedly they have a really, really bad year, you know, and Marner does not contribute, you know, going forward?
Night.
His first goal. What are we like nine games into the 9 games into the season, and Mitch Marner's got one goal.
Yep.
You know, that's not good enough, man. I mean, even Tavares has 3 goals. That's practically
not good enough for a guy making almost $11 million a year. No, that's not good at all.
That's $20 million in cap space right there with 4 goals between them. So there might be some changes. Maybe getting something for one of those guys. You know, you can get 2 solid players for that. You know,
I'll tell you what. William Nylander's contract's looking very, very good at $6.9 million.
Really good.
They were freaking out about that, and look at him. He's consistent, and he's not making double digits like some of the other guys on the team.
Yeah, and I mean even we can add the Avalanche to the, you know, to the conversation too. They're 4-4, man. Was anybody expecting the Avalanche to be 4-4 to start, you know, through the month of October? I mean, I think that's pretty surprising.
Everybody had them one in the Central Division. I know we did. I think both of us did. And I think we had Minnesota was like second. I think they're like an average team. They're having trouble keeping the puck out of their own net.
Yeah, they are.
Still a solid team.
Ryan Hartman for Minnesota's got 4 goals. Talk about a bargain deal there. Let's see if he can keep up his goal scoring during the year though. And it's really ironic. They move him from wing to center, and he's finding a lot of success.
I'm really surprised with the Red Wings, man. I think it's coming together for these guys a lot quicker. I mean, Bertuzzi and Dylan Larkin are playing well. They got a solid D. They're 4-3-2. I mean, it's not great, but I had these guys down with, you know, like the Coyotes and the Canadians this year, and they're just proving everybody wrong, man. Same with the Blue Jackets.
I'd say the Flames are proving people wrong too.
Oh man, yeah, 7-1. I think they are just—they're on, man. Jacob Markstrom, like we just said, I think 3 shutouts in the last 4 starts. Jeez.
Yeah, blank the Flyers 4-0. Yeah. I think Moynihan had one goal in that game.
Yep, 6-1-1. They're ahead of the Oilers now, and the Golden Knights, who are, you know, they're back up to 500. They're gonna get it together, I think. But back to the Flames, man, they got 29 goals for and 15 goals against, the plus 14 differential, which did not see that coming with the Calgary Flames. But hey, Daryl Sutter, did I do it again? Yeah, no, Daryl Sutter.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
These guys are, you know, they're buying into a system, and look, they're number one in the Pacific.
You know, that's ironically, we mentioned that I think at the beginning of the season that this team was going to be winning games, you know, 2-1, 1-0, 3-2 type of a deal. And that hasn't typically been the case with this team.
They are tied with the Oilers in 29 goals.
Wow.
And they have the 2 best players in the world on their team, and they're tied with them. That's pretty impressive, man.
Would you say Leon Draisaitl is better than Nathan MacKinnon?
I think he is. And obviously people look at McDavid as the best. He is the best. And this guy is kind of like the shadow of McDavid, but he's really good. He's right there with them every year, you know? So I do think he's a better player offensively.
Do you think that, you know, obviously if someone were to ask you, you're starting a team, who's going to be your cornerstone? Who are you going to center your team around? And people are going to say Connor McDavid, right?
Yeah.
Let's leave him out of the conversation. If you were to start a team, say today, and you've got Austin Matthews, you've got Leon Draisaitl, you've got Nathan MacKinnon, you've got, let's throw Makar out there. Let's throw Adam Fox out there.
Yeah.
Who would you pick out of these five players to build a team around?
Well, I think you named 5 players that haven't been to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean let's take that out of the equation. Just on talent.
I would do Draisaitl then.
Okay. Why would you pick Draisaitl?
Look what he did without McDavid. He put up great numbers, and
he didn't slow down actually.
No, he did fine. And I think that even if McDavid's hurt, Draisaitl could carry the team like he did. I do like Cale Makar if I'm building like a defensive minded team first, but I think he is better than all these guys. Leon, the German Gretzky.
Yeah, I think I'd pick him too. I to be honest with you, I think he has nobody really talks about his passing ability very much. Yeah. And I think that he's a great passer.
He is. He's a smart player.
He can sauce it up.
He's benefiting off, I think, McDavid, and they're benefiting off each other, which is a great thing.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
Got a two-headed monster.
Do they play on the same line?
I think they switch them here and there. Obviously, probably power play time.
Right.
I've seen them play together before, but I think that they brought in Zach Hyman to kind of play with McDavid to add more depth, you know, on the top six.
Right.
I think Leon was kind of playing with Nugent Hopkins. And the teams switch all the time. You never really see a consistent line anymore. They're always shuffling lines.
Looks like Adam Henrique from Anaheim's got his fourth goal. Going on, power play goal with the Ducks.
Leading 2-1 against the Habs. Yeah.
I just wanted to check the scores really quick. So it looks like Jack Hughes is out 5 weeks still. But word is that his shoulder is stable and it's healing really well. I think this is a contract year for him, so it's a big bummer for him. But it's just such a bummer that he went down because he was playing really, really well. Do you think that the Devils are going to take a step this year?
I think they were going to with him, the way he was playing. I think eventually once they get the goaltending figured out and healthy, I think they'll be okay. That division is very good, very good division.
Yeah, it is.
I think the Devils are sitting 4-2 right now, and like we said, it's early. But right now they're tied with the Islanders. Actually, that whole division, every team is either 500 or over 500. So it's a winning division right now. That's probably the toughest division in the NHL.
The Coyotes took the Hurricanes. The Canes won that game 2-1. That they took that pretty close, man. Could you imagine the Hurricanes losing to the Blackhawks the Yotes?
Sometimes that's hockey. What hockey is. But I think they would be a tough one to drop the first loss of the season to either the Blackhawks or the Coyotes right now.
Right. Blackhawks are 0-7-2. They look to be shaping up a little bit. Before it was just a floodgates at the beginning of the season, but they played much better defensively during that Toronto game last week. They seem to have been tightening up defensively, which is something that they've been needing to do all year so far. They lost big time to the Canes 6-3. It was a lot closer in the first period. They were hanging in there with them, and then the second period came, and it was just brutal.
Relentless attack.
Brutal. Well, the problems
are... They played the Blues last night, too, the Hawks, and they lost 1-0. It was probably Fleury's best game. And you got to give credit to the Blues. They're built the right way. They have a great goalie in Binnington. They have great coaching staff. They have a great management team. They put solid vets with youth, and they're on right now. They're 6-1, and they're 15 goals against, and they have 29 goals for. They're a +14 differential, and obviously, the goaltending and the defense is there. They're, the best in the division right now. The second closest team would be the Predators at 22 goals against. So that's how good they're playing.
Yeah.
And Dallas is actually pretty well with the goals against.
Oh, yeah. They've got four starting goalies.
And that's true. And the Blackhawks and the Coyotes are 37 goals against and 39. And
wow.
They are minus 20, and the Coyotes are minus 26. So these teams in the Central, these are must-win games against these two teams. Must win. Any team playing the Blackhawks, the Coyotes, you have to win. But don't be the team that's going to start the backup that night. Get the easy 2 points. Get him.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny because, we're at that point in the season where obviously the Hawks and the Yotes are bad. And teams, you know, they're going in, they're like, do not lose. Do not lose to this team and be the first marker on there. Because you never know, man. Last year, the Predators, they didn't have a good start to their season. They roared back. You know, I'm not saying the Hawks or maybe the Yotes can do that. But, you know, anything's possible in hockey, to be honest with you.
I don't think the Yotes will. I think they're going to be very bad. I don't understand why the Blackhawks are so bad. They're the goaltending is good. I guess I do understand the coaching system is terrible. The defensive it's bad right now. But we have there's good players on that team. I mean, there's really no excuse. Like, they can't score more than 3 goals a game.
Yeah, I think it's the system. And ironically, I think it's because the defense is so porous in this system that they can't create any offense from it. You know, I was watching the game the other day, and there were times where Kirby Dach and Dominik Kubalík were playing in the defensive positions because both defensemen pinched up, which is absolutely incredible to me. Like, I don't know why, you know, that would happen. But
Jake McCabe, too.
I saw
they
that.
Got him.
I saw that multiple times, man. And I honestly believe that they are so bad right now because of coaching.
Well, and that's why they're in the basement with the Yotes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so who knows how long that's going to go on. You know, they have a new GM now in Kyle Davidson. You know, with everything that's going on with that organization right now, looking for a start. I would imagine that a head coaching change can't be that far off. But who knows, man? We'll have to see what happens with them. The Kraken are looking for their third straight win. They play the Rangers today. I think that's going to be a bit of a tough game for them. What do you think?
Yeah, the Rangers have been very, very good. They're getting some good play from their goaltending. Obviously, the Breadman. They're 5-2-1. They're scoring. They got 19 goals as a team, 18 goals against. It's only a +1 differential, but yeah, I think there's more to come with this team. Adam Fox is playing good. I saw him make an amazing pass the other night. Guy buried it. I think the Rangers are going to definitely be a playoff team. As for the Kraken, I honestly don't get to see them much, but their record isn't bad for their. I mean, they're 3-4. I mean, I expected them to be, you know, towards the bottom, but it's good that they're getting some wins.
Yeah, I agree. Looks like Niederreiter for the Hurricanes is out with a lower body injury. Arvidsson and Velarde of the Kings are on COVID-19 protocol.
It's a lot of COVID stuff going on.
Yeah, there is.
Crazy.
If you look around just around the NHL, there's a lot of coaching staff, the players. You know, there's a lot of people being put on COVID protocol.
I think Patrick Kane is still on the list.
Yeah, he is. He is.
It's been like 3 games now. That sucks.
Yeah, it is. But I'll be honest with you, man. What did you think of Sebastian Aho the other night?
Man, he looked very good. That whole team, it's well coached. Rob Brind'Amour, there's a reason why he's the best coach of the year. That team they bring it every night. They're like, the word I heard from an expert, he called their gameplay just absolutely suffocating. They just keep attacking and attacking. And they got some good depth, man. I didn't pick them to, you know, win the Stanley Cup, but I think that they could this year. And Freddie Anderson, what a pickup that's been. And Antti Raanta got his first win of the year against the Blackhawks. I think Anderson has 7. He's 7-0, I believe.
Wow.
I don't know who started against the Yotes though. Maybe do you have any information on that?
No, I don't.
No. Yeah, I know they won 2-1. Usually, like we said, the backup goalie will, you know, play against a team like that just to kind of get him some minutes and stuff.
Right.
But let's find out here. I'm trying to do my. Sorry, I have a dial up here. No, Freddie Anderson was still in net. So he, I believe that is 8-0, I believe.
Wow.
That's crazy. last get team out of standing, that, the Carolina Hurricanes, undefeated.
You get that. You get out of that limelight, that Toronto son of a limelight out there, man, and it really does something for you. Watch, you send Marner.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, you send Marner to the Red Wings, and he's a 100-point player.
Yeah, he's gonna get the. He's gonna clean up all the awards that year.
Well, cool, everybody. That's all that we got for you today. Thank you very much for listening. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. We love, you know, talking hockey. Be sure to send us a message on Twitter at the Hockey Hound Show. And let us know what you think, what you want to hear, you know, what you want to hear more of. You know, we appreciate it. Well, we love talking hockey. But that's all that we got for you tonight. This is the Hockey Hound Show. We're out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Hockey Hound Show. You can follow us on social media at Hockey Hound Show. And be sure to check out our website at www.officialhockeyhound.com.